Hey, welcome back to another episode of Everyday Kink. In this episode, I get to interview a great friend of mine who is an amazing model, content creator, and spirit who I've been trying to get on this podcast for a while. And we finally were able to align the moons and make it happen. So I hope you guys enjoy this interview and have as much fun listening to it as we did recording it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we are back with another fun-filled episode and interview of Everyday Kink. Of course, I am your guide, your concierge, your spiritual leader, and I am here. I'm about to tear up doing this intro because the person who I have next to me is such an amazing person, such an amazing soul, an image of what I would like to consider creative perfection. Is that too much? Was that sounds? She's eating right now, so you're asking me questions while I have food in my mouth. But now I always butcher your name, so let me see if I can say this right. This is the very lovely. Just call me Isla.
Isla.
See, the S throws me off now.
It does. It's absurd. Right. I mean, you can say it a lot of different ways, but
Isla. You say Isla.
I say Isla.
So we have the lovely Just Call Me Isla. And I've known Isla for a while now. We've shot twice.
Just twice.
Once with Shelly. Mm-hmm. And then when you came down for the solo one. Because by the time we were going to set up the other shoot, the pandemic hit. So we couldn't do anything. Because we both work in professions that require us to make sure we're all safe.
Sure do.
Oh, and I just got my booster shot, so my arm is like throbbing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so fun.
I'm getting my booster Monday, tomorrow.
Oh. Mm-hmm. It's not that. Did you have any effects? Did you get any like weird effects when you got your first two shots?
I mean, I had the standard, you know, a little bit of fever, kind of a headache.
But nothing
kind of,
too.
Kind of lethargic, kind of run down.
That's probably what you're going to feel when you get the booster. Like, I didn't have any effects. I went to work that day.
Yeah.
So. You know, when I got mines, I ended up going to the movies right afterwards. So I was like, yeah, I'm doing good.
Good for you. Yeah, I hope it's not too bad, the side effects from tomorrow, because I also have another photo shoot tomorrow. So.
Busy woman. But the reason why I like Isla is Isla has this great, she has a great charisma about her. And now, I tell people this, and an amazing body. So let me not discredit that. But, so, as a person who's done photography for way too long, when you meet people who have that kind of, like, very bubbly, open, happy personality that also shows in whatever they do, it's almost a rare commodity because some people have to put it on, and then some people just don't put it on at all. But when you have someone who has that presence in front of the camera, then they have that, you know, outside of the camera, it's always a great, like, time to hang out with them. Like, we've sat on my couch and eaten pizza and watched craziness. I think we talked about horror movies. I'm a big horror movie buff. We've gone through some stuff. We've always had fun times. And even when we're not hanging out together, we have, like, great supportive conversations, which is also a plus. There are models who you associate with to shoot. And then there are models who are like friends who will check in on you as you check in on them. And it's very rare to find those because it's a very weird modeling world out there. Mm-hmm. So when you find those people are very valuable. So I'm happy to have her on because I've been dying to get her on. See, what you do is you find yourself good people who will take your compliments but won't let them get a big head. Because I compliment her all the time. I don't think she realizes how much I respect her. So she gave me one of my favorite shoots. So one of my favorite shoots, she had bought this great traditional Asian, like almost looks like, if you guys ever watch any old anime when they have like the feudal Japan archers, the white outfit with the red, oh man, it was such a beautiful outfit. And now mind you, primarily I'm a very sexy risque shooter, but I saw this as an opportunity to do some real cool stuff. I had a special effects thing on my phone, so I made it look like as she was running her fingers over her sword, the flames were popping up, and then the pictures I had, like, you know, sparks. It was very fun. She gives me a chance to do all these cool stuff, and she gave me one of my most favorite items that I have that's at my job right now and everybody loves, and that is the Jumanji game.
Yeah.
I'm introducing people to it. I'm still trying to get them into it, but I'm like, this is the actual old game. So she's always fun and bubbly. And the reason why I want to have her on is because she rides this hub in the world of content creation, modeling, and kink, as well as dating. So it's like she has like all these little values that I want to like really touch on and have fun with. And who better to talk about it with? You know, my good friend. That's like, who else do you talk about this stuff with? So we're going to start off, after I gave her this lengthy intro to make her feel bubbly and great, we're going to start off with something simple and tell us how you got into modeling.
Well, it was kind of accidental. I played in a band and...
What instrument? Or were you a singer?
No, I played the trumpet.
Ooh. We have to find a trumpet for a shoe. Now we have to... Not,
like I have a trumpet.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely...
Of course I have a trumpet.
Stay tuned for that one. So you were playing the band. You were in the band.
Yep, and there was another member in the band who is a professional photographer, and he does... You know, he did like fun shoots for other members of the band, and I saw one that day, and we had a gig that night, and I just went up to him and I said, "Can we do a shoot? I've never done a photo shoot before. This could be fun." And he was down. So not even a week later, that's kind of just how it started. And I thought it was such a fun, creative process, and I just felt very open to just kind of posing and kind of creating artwork out of myself in a way that I had never thought to do before. Because I, you know, when I thought about modeling before, it was always what you see in magazines, mm-hmm. what you see on TV, what you see from celebrities. I didn't know any models before. But I knew that my photographer friend, you know, he took really great pictures of everyone. So I just kind of wanted to be in that process. And once I tried it the first time, I was kind of hooked.
Now, you have a great comfortability with your body. And it shows in the pictures that you post and the stuff that you do. When did that happen? Like, you're modeling. Was it, like, automatically, like, you know what? I'm comfortable being in lingerie and nude and doing these different looks. Or was it, like, I had to slowly warm myself up to getting to that point?
I've always been very comfortable with my body. I think I didn't realize that I didn't realize I was sexy for a long time. This is the body that I'm born with, and then I choose what to put in it and what I do with it and how I look. Like, if I wanted to look another way, I would work harder to look that way. But this is what I have to work with, and I've always been very happy with it. It really wasn't until I started, dating. I kind of started dating, like, in college, and... I didn't really understand like the attention I was getting, and I didn't really see myself as being sexy, but I was never uncomfortable with my body.
It's almost like that realization, and then everything just fell into place for you.
I don't know.
Oh, we're deep diving here. we got a deep dive. I love this. This is why I like doing interviews like this, because you ask a question and someone goes, "You know, I never really thought about that," and then they take a time to think about it.
I mean, I've been very fortunate to have, a very good support system in my life through my friends and my family, and my best guy friend I've known since high school, and he has always told me that I'm like super hot or that I'm. That I've got a great ass, and I never believed him, because I thought you just said that to your friends, kind of thing.
See, the truly hot girls, have that mindset where they just feel like you're just saying that because you're friends. They don't realize how hot they are, which makes them even that much more attractive. That is a time-tested theory right there.
So once I started modeling and once I started once I decided that I wanted to put my image out there, I just enjoy expressing myself however I want to do it. Whether it's through lingerie, whether it's through the nudes, or through that samurai shoot.
You also gave me another, like, she also gave me one of my favorite shoots. Like, my top five of shoots I love to do. I've done some really good, like, message shoots. Mm. And we did one for I'm Not a Virus.
Yeah.
Oh, those. I got some shots from that were just, like, gut-wrenching. Yeah. I love it.
During the height of the pandemic, there was a lot of Asian hate at the time. And it was very wearing on me because I am Asian, I am Chinese. So seeing people getting hurt and, you know, purposely being, you know, having violent actions against them. And this was all during those massage parlor shootings.
Yeah.
So that whole thing, it really affected my life. It affected my family, my mom. It was a very tumultuous time because, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know I didn't understand how it would be like to walk outside and see my neighbors and see my neighborhood and see the place that I worked and feel like, do people look at me differently now? Do they see me as a virus? Do they see me as someone who is potentially trying to harm them in some way?
I remember when we talked about doing that shoot, I remember one of the things that we talked about, you're like, it's not even just you, but you were worried about members of your family. Oh, yeah. Will they be able to go outside and
the older
do things they love to do?
The older Asian community was getting, and still is, There's such a rise in violence and hate crimes against Asian people in New York and California. And that's just what's being
the little bit we see recorded. Being recorded.
Yeah.
It's crazy because for people who don't know the history, this is like the second time a big incident like this has happened within the Asian community. Of course, the first one happened after Pearl Harbor, where a lot of a strong contingent of the Asian community were forced into concentration camps because they were seen as traitors and such things like that. And then you have this going on. And I love it when an artist who can be provocative takes their platform and they want to use it to put out a positive message. Because you don't get that sometimes. A lot of people who have that influence or who has that spirit, people that look at this stuff, won't risk making a political statement because they don't want to lose the people that follow them. Because if someone's like, well, I'm following her because she's good looking and she's cute and she posts provocative pictures, will they still stay if you post and you talk about things that you're passionate about, like this issue? So it was very, if I didn't like you enough then, it made me like you even more. Because it's a big risk. It's a big risk to take because it's like you could alienate your following and, you know, you could get some feedback. But you were very adamant about doing it and you were very, like, in your face about it. And I just love that. That's awesome. That's very inspirational.
Well, the thing is when I started doing this, I have always considered myself an artistic model. I don't call myself just boudoir. I don't call myself just sexy. I want to create art. And sometimes that's, you know, showing my ass. Sometimes that's showing a side boob. Sometimes that's sending a message.
It It all falls under the same umbrella. So it was very honorable. And I said this to you. I was like, I feel very honored that you chose to shoot this message. Because you have a plethora of amazing photographers that you could have easily done that with. But you did it with little old me. So I felt like I've made it in the world.
I honestly don't think there was anyone else that I wanted to do it with.
Oh, that's gonna make me cry. Don't make me cry. Don't do that. Don't make me cry. I don't cry on my podcast. I have to be steadfast. But thank you. It was fun. And, you know, I attest that to the fact that we have a great chemistry mm-hmm. and that you could come to me with an idea like that. Mm-hmm. And we've had some like great talk. When we did the sword and the flame stuff, and I was like, hey, I remember asking you about, should we do something that says something? When we did, it was a lingerie version of it. We did like a more sexual version of that. And I was like, do you feel like it's okay for us to speak on something about the Asian fetish? Because people always fetishize Asians. And you were looking at me like, I don't know, because, you know, I'm kind of capitalizing on it.
Right.
But we're able to have that conversation and no one felt offended. We didn't end up in a fight. We didn't go after each other. We were able to have that conversation and you gave me probably the most realest response. You was like, I don't know. I use it. I utilize it. So I don't know if I should. And that's honest. That's a very honest opinion. And you don't get that many honest opinions when you talk about stuff like that. Like I talked to someone, a black content creator, and we were talking about fetishism and kinks. I was like, do you feel like we should be into that due to the fact that the stuff that are in fetishes and kinks are the same things they use to enslave black people? That's like a very touchy topic.
Absolutely.
But, you know, she responded to me. She's like, I don't know. She's like, I can't answer that. And it's great when you can have those conversations and also shows the open-mindedness of the person you're working with. But let us not get too deep because I know why you guys are here. Let us talk about, let's segue back, how did you go from modeling now into OnlyFans and content creating?
I heard about OnlyFans for the first time through my original photographer from the band. He did a photo shoot for a yoga instructor who started an OnlyFans. She eventually decided it wasn't for her, but he had brought the idea to me, and I had never heard of OnlyFans. I didn't really know what it was all about. This was December of 2019, so it was kind of just before
everything hit.
Just before the pandemic. So what a time. I didn't start my OnlyFans until February of that year, of 2020. How did I get into it?
Now, what made you go, you know what? I'll give it a try. What was the thing that made you go, you know?
Well, it sounded like I could make money off of selling photos and videos. So I thought, I already take sexy photos and sexy videos, and then I send them to my significant other or whoever. I think I was dating at the time, so I was sending them to...
If you guys could only see the look that I got seen.
So I was already putting it out into the universe.
Yes.
So I thought, why, if other people are getting paid for this, why don't I get paid for this?
Makes sense.
So that's what I did.
OnlyFans changed modeling.
Yeah.
So if you are, say, a model and you do boudoir nude stuff, there's only so many places you can post it. You can get away with it on Twitter. If you have your own website, you can do it. If you have a model mayhem, you can do it. But if your main platform, and a lot of people's main platform is Instagram, mm-hmm. you can't get away with it at Mm-mm. all. Even if you're clothed mm-hmm. in like the most covering of lingerie, mm-hmm. you could still
get flagged.
Yeah.
You're going against community guidelines. You're being censored. You get blacklisted.
Shadow banned. So there's only a few places. There's not really that many places, well, at that time, that you could go and take these pictures that you took, which are great pictures mm-hmm. that ad nauseum are just sitting in a hard drive or on a website or on a disk or on a thumb drive, just collecting dust. Mm-hmm. And people are asking for them. And I know a lot of people use Snapchat or, you know, DM me and I'll send you pictures. That's fine and dandy. But there's something about being able to do it on OnlyFans to give it more of a business type of feel. Mm-hmm. You know, the basic run of OnlyFans is they have to subscribe in order to even get access to pictures to see anything. Because if you just go to someone's page, you can't see anything until you pay. And then you have a plethora of ways you can make money and cut out the middleman. Be your own business.
Right.
And I know during a pandemic, some of that money came in handy when you couldn't really go into work like how you could because things were getting shut down and there was all these restrictions.
Well, for me, it was a different kind of outlet because I work in healthcare. I'm an essential worker. So there was never a time during the pandemic where I was given time off, where I couldn't work. I had to work. It was my job. So I did it. But having an OnlyFans allowed me to have a place to express myself and to get out a lot of emotions that were very difficult at the time because of how stressful it was.
I can imagine that.
So it was nice to have a way to still feel like myself and to still feel in control of my own life when everything in the world was felt very out of control.
Yeah. Have you noticed? Did you notice when the pandemic hit, there was a difference in traffic that you got to your OnlyFans compared to now? Has things kind of like slowed down a little bit? Because I always figured with the pandemic, a lot of people are inside their house. So the drive for content and stuff you can look at was probably high. And now that we're hitting kind of like, hopefully, knock on wood, we're hitting kind of like the tail end of everything. I figured things would die down. Have you noticed that in your OnlyFans? Or has it just been consistent traffic going on?
I would say that I started my OnlyFans in February of 2020, and the pandemic started the lockdown started in March.
Yeah.
So I was really, really at the very beginning stage of my modeling and OnlyFans career. Like I only had maybe like 100 or 200 followers on Instagram. I only had maybe. I had only a handful of subscribers to my OnlyFans. So I don't know. I did see some pickup. I had a good, you know, couple early months. And things have just kind of been on this up and down. It's pretty steady. I'm very happy and proud of the content that I put out, and I'm very happy with the subscribers that I have. So I can't really tell you if there's a dip or a rise.
So that's what happens when you're doing good business. Dips and rises are not as apparent to you because, you know, you're getting steady going. Now here's the subject that I like to talk about. This is why we have this podcast. How did you get into this lovely world of kink and fetishes? Was that something that you gained when you started modeling in your OnlyFans stuff, or was it something that's always been sprinkled out within your life before everything?
Well, I would say that in my adult life and dating, I thought I had to follow this predetermined path. I had to go to college, find a boyfriend, get married, get a dog, have kids, buy a house. Like the American dream. That's what I was told is what I had to do in order to be successful. And so that was kind of the path that I was on. And then I had always felt it wasn't the life for me. I never wanted to be in a monogamous relationship. I always, even when I was in a relationship, I always felt a desire to be with somebody else, but not because I lacked any, I lacked love for the person that I was with. It was just that I felt like I was capable of loving more than one person at the same time, but it was such a taboo thing, and I didn't really understand polyamory, and I didn't really understand non-monogamous relationships. I didn't know those were something out in the world that was okay. But the relationship that kind of, so I was engaged. I was engaged to be married. We had bought a condo. We were starting off this American dream, but we had talked about what it would be like if we started swinging.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of, I think unfortunately, by the time we had started talking about that, the relationship between us had sort of deteriorated, and the idea or the diving into the swinging thing was trying to put a Band-Aid on
a big gash.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. On the lack of communication and the lack of physicality between us at the time. It was kind of a way to try to bridge the
that gap.
Yeah.
That was there.
Yeah. Anyways, that whole relationship had its own thing, but we decided to you know, join a like SLS, and we that's how I met Shelley.
Ah.
Mhm. So that's how I met Shelley, and after my fiance and I broke up, I stayed in contact with her, and I think from there, my photographer had told me about Shibari, and because he had taken some photographs of, you know, of another model, and he had told me about that, and he asked if I was interested in that, and so then I was introduced to a Shibari artist, and I kind of just everything happened all at once. I joined FetLife, and then the OnlyFans started, and in February I just started my OnlyFans. Shelley and I went to a lifestyle party together.
Okay, let me just tell you guys, footnote. So my first time meeting Isla was with Shelley. Mm-hmm. I set up the shoot originally with Isla, then Shelley got involved, so then it became like a dual thing, and oh my goodness, still probably one of my favorite two model shoots, because we did this like very like nice, cute little girl in the wilderness with like the flannels on, yeah, on like the on a ledge of a mountain by a waterfall. Mm-hmm. We did a fitness shoot. We did like a whole bunch of stuff.
So much that day.
Oh, it did. Because that was the day where we got the cake.
Yes, it was her birthday.
So Shelley did an ass cake smash. And this is how you could tell when you meet people that everybody's comfortable with everybody in the room. So we start off, we get the cake smash done.
Her husband's here, too.
Her husband is just chilling. He's with us for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he starts licking cake off her butt. Isla comes over, licks cake off the butt. And it was just like one of those surreal experiences, like, this is probably the most comfortable situation I've been in a very long time. Because everybody was just doing it like it was, they were licking cake off the butt as if I was just handing out wine for people to drink. Like, yeah, have some wine. Oh, have a butt with icing on it. Yeah, you have a butt with icing on it. It was like this amazing good experience. Like, and you guys have like great chemistry with each other.
Oh, I love Shelley.
She is the sweetest thing.
She is the sweetest thing. And the sexiest thing. And
she can be a beast, my friends. You have no idea. I keep telling her she needs to shoot more. But she likes doing her thing. I'm like, listen, you're dope.
Yeah.
So you pretty much take this Band-Aid off of this relationship. Oh, everything starts flooding in.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you decide, like, when did you go, okay, I like this. This is the space I want to operate in.
Well, after that relationship, I decided I never wanted to be in a monogamous relationship anymore. And then I was just kind of exploring what it meant to be kinky and what it meant to be in kind of a more BDSM lifestyle. I was really just exploring the different, you know, facets of the lifestyle, but then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
I signed up for a year-long membership at a sex club, and I only went to one party.
You know where I have to take you one day?
Where?
I think they're finally back up and running. I have to take you to Art Cinema.
Okay.
Art Cinema is this great. Art Cinema, I found out about through a movie called Private Parts, which was like the autobiography of Howard Stern. It was like, it's this sex movie theater swingers club in downtown Hartford. And I'm like,
nah.
What? Really? And I've been there like once or twice, and it's legit what exactly it is. It was like, let me tell you something. I watch porn. Everybody watches porn. But when you walk into a room and you see like a giant dick and pussy on a movie screen, it's kind of like a culture shock. You're like, oh, that's big. That is, Jesus. I can see under the hood and everything. Okay, that's interesting. This is different. There's a few places in this area now that, well, because I feel like the culture and the lifestyle is a lot more acceptable now. So yeah, we see like a lot more stuff like FetLife. I dove into FetLife, and you know, you guys think glory holes are just something that people do just for like video themes. No, those are actual things. They're, we'll talk about that later. It's you'd be surprised. I gotta follow you on FetLife too. We gotta exchange our FetLife thing. But you'd be surprised about how the scene looks nowadays. This is a lot more acceptable. Even though you didn't get a chance to experience it like you should have.
Oh, I know. I think I will eventually make it back there. It is just kind of everything with the pandemic.
It's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff. I know that this particular sex club, you know, they require vaccinations, so you know, that makes me feel a little bit safer, but it's still,
it's like a mental thing. It's like you're still hesitant, especially if you have someone who's older in your life. You're like, you're still a little bit hesitant to like really fully dive back into stuff. Because I'm like that. Like, I'll do a lot of things, but there's some things that I just can't bring myself to do because I deal with a lot of older people in my family. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm going to go see them this weekend. Yeah. I don't want to really risk.
Yeah.
And I'm vaccinated. I just got my booster. So, because I work in the education system. So we were required to do it. We just can't avoid it. So even still, it's still kind of like nerve-wracking when I go into some places and I see people walking around and I'm like, oh, I have to turn around. I gotta go back. My anxiety is acting up. I can't do it.
Well, it's just such a shame because I had such a great experience that one time.
And then you couldn't go back in,
couldn't go back in. Yeah. I mean, that was the first time I've ever had an orgy.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. It was three other couples and myself. I went alone.
You were the unicorn.
I was the unicorn. Oh. I'm still a unicorn.
You are.
I am. Yeah.
Uh-oh. See. There was a thought that went through. And then she had to focus on the thought real quick. It's just, so let me ask you this. How has all this stuff, the OnlyFans, the modeling, you know, slowly finding yourself in your kink and fetish world, BDSM, how has that kind of changed how you see yourself and how you handle things?
I'm trying to think if I am the same person now that I was a couple of years ago. And I think that I communicate better. I think that, I don't know, I'm still very assertive, and sometimes I feel like I'm a lot to handle.
I feel like we've had this conversation.
I know we have had this conversation. It's just now I was in a relationship during the pandemic, and then it recently ended, and I was trying to think about, you know, what kind of person I was and how come it didn't work out, and now that I'm single again and I'm dating, I've gone on a few dates, and it just seems like I am very forthcoming. I'm very comfortable in my own body. I know my self-worth. I know what I have to offer to people. I think that takes people by surprise.
It's a culture shock.
I don't really understand their point of view that well, because I would want someone to be like this for me. I want someone to just tell me, you know, this is how it is, this is who I am, this is here. This is me.
Oh, we're about to unpack some stuff. We're gonna unpack some. Okay, so here's my theory. And I think I told you this before. So in the world of dating now,
yeah,
I say now because a decade or so ago it was different. But in the world of dating now, everybody's instant gratification, and everybody wants this image. Everybody has this image of what a relationship would be, even if it's with someone who is in the BDSM and kink world. They have an idea of this is how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say this because this is very cliche, but a strong, assertive woman threatens a lot of people who are not comfortable in themselves to take that. Because a lot of guys will pretend, and even girls, I'm not going to make it a guy thing, but people who are not comfortable in themselves, who acknowledge themselves, when they're confronted with someone who has that self-assurance, who kind of knows what they want, what they bring to the table, so they know who they are and what they bring, when confronted with that, if you're not on that same level, it's like an avalanche. You're getting caught in the avalanche. And a lot of it has nothing to do with the person that's coming to you, but it's the fact that you start noticing the cracks in your own armor, and the image that you try to portray isn't really the true image. And it slowly starts to get chipped away. And the more time they spend with you, the more time they're forced to look at this reflection. And a lot of people can't handle that. They can't turn that around and kind of come to terms with themselves. It's frightening. And so they either run, or 9 times out of 10, they make you feel bad for being so sure about yourself. They'll tell you that you're being too much, or, you know, they're telling you you're too detailed. They have a variety of reasons why you're too much, instead of just admitting that I am not that confident and it scares me. And instead of telling you that and then maybe figuring out a way to gain that confidence, I'm going to make you either feel bad or I'm going to run for cover. Which is so stupid, because when you're with someone who's sure of themselves, that just makes your life a lot easier. Because you already know what they want. What do you want to eat? You know, you don't got to go through that. I want some breakfast. All right, cool. Breakfast, easy. I can do that. But I told you this. I told you, you know, when you're someone who's sure about yourself, it's easier for you to put a lot of stuff on the table. Like, it's easier for you to present yourself and, like, to really love fully, because you already know who you are. Mm-hmm. Someone who doesn't know who they are aren't ready to accept that. It's like you're taking, like, a pool of stuff and trying to pour it into their little cup. It's just, it slowly, it starts to fill it up. And then after a while, it hits the brim, and then it's just landslide. And that is your doctor lesson for today. But how is it now dating in this current climate, knowing that you really don't want to be monogamous? You have this kink world that you want to explore more of. You're doing your content creation. You're doing this modeling. You know, how does it feel navigating the dating world being in a place in your life where you're at now?
Well, it's different because there's definitely two sides to dating for me right now. I'm on Field, which is more of an open, kinkier kind of dating site. And then I'm also on Bumble. So I use one name for one and then my real name for the other. And it's just kind of navigating. Are you the kind of person that I'm gonna tell right away that I have an OnlyFans? Or is this, should I say that, you know, first thing? I don't know. I've been on a few dates and, you know, I've been trying to be very open about who I am and what my professional life is, but also what my model life is. And sometimes I stick to just modeling until it feels comfortable to say I also have an OnlyFans.
It's a hard thing to do. Because there's that reputation of OnlyFans.
It does have a reputation, but honestly, I definitely lean more towards if they have more questions about me modeling, then I go into saying that I also have an OnlyFans. Because if I don't tell them now, I'm going to have to tell them tomorrow. If I don't tell them now, they're going to...
Eventually,
they're going to eventually find out, because this is me and I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change who I am. I'm not going to stop making content and stop having an OnlyFans depending on whatever their reaction is. So I kind of definitely lean towards telling them up front. I don't know if that's a good method of dating right now.
I mean, it's, there's no such thing as a good dating method. It's whatever you can work with.
I don't know.
Well, I always go, when you have like OnlyFans, it's that, okay, so you admit you have OnlyFans.
Yep.
And so it's dealing with the perception that someone may have. Or does that mean you're just fucking everybody? Which also bleeds into the fact that you don't want to be monogamous. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's that weird thing like, yeah, I may be fucking other people. It may not be for my OnlyFans, but in my life, this is how I want to lead my life. So if you're not okay with this, you're definitely not going to be okay with the other suitcase that I have behind me that I'm waiting to pull out. Mm-hmm. I mean, have you run into that situation where someone may be okay with the OnlyFans, but then may have an issue with the fact that you are not looking to be monogamous at this moment?
No, I have not run into that yet, only because I'm really just starting to get back out into the dating world, and I feel like that kind of conversation doesn't happen right at the very beginning. I mean, I have a person that I have been dating for a little while now, I guess a little while. We've gone out on a few dates, and I did tell him about my OnlyFans, and I did tell him that I have other partners, and you know, because it's good to
be open. Yeah.
Sexual safety is very important,
indeed.
And so I always tell any potential partner that I'm gonna have that this is my lifestyle. This is also, you know, who I have in my life, and you have to be comfortable with that. And I'm not trying to hide anything from you, so here's that. And he was receptive to it.
It's always good when you can find that honesty and make things work.
That's all I want. I just want honesty. I will be honest with you I will be honest with you no matter what. I expect honesty back.
It's the least. It's the least a person can do. Speaking of honesty, being someone who is in the essential work field, being in medical, how's it been trying to navigate your content life, your kink fetish life, and balance it with, like, your, as they like to say, vanilla life? Are you nervous about people from one section finding out about your more riskier lifestyle? Or are you at a point now where you're like, we're going through a pandemic, people are dying left and right, I really don't care anymore?
Well, unfortunately, it's a stigma to be kinky and to have this other lifestyle. And then having an OnlyFans, even though I use a different persona, I use a different name, I don't mention anything about my professional life. Some of a very select amount of coworkers have kind of accidentally found me and found my my Instagram and my OnlyFans, but they haven't mentioned, you know, much more of it.
Well, that's normally because if you accidentally find, that means you were looking for something. So it's like, it's a two-way street here. If you look and you find something, what were you looking for,
right,
that you came across? So it's almost like a little safety net.
Right. But that, the thing is, there are people out there who may see my Instagram and may see that I'm successful in being so confident in my body that I'm showing it off in such a provocative way that they may take it back to my manager.
The hate is real sometimes.
You know, unfortunately, it's they think of it nobly as like, people are gonna see this image and apply it towards my workplace image. And I mean, I've read some terrible stories of nurses who have OnlyFans who have been fired because of it, and they were given the choice of keeping their job or getting rid of their OnlyFans kind of thing. And I just hope that never happens in my particular
situation.
Cross
the fingers, knock on wood. I remember reading this story. And I actually know someone from this person's family. But it's a person who had a porn star pass. Porn star, like, legit signed to a company, did a few films, and got out the business, got to the medical field.
Yep.
Did great in the medical field.
Yep.
Built a family, built a life, was doing great.
Yep.
And someone came across one of her videos, recognized her, and then got a group of people to try to, it's called doxing. It's when people like put your information, all the stuff out there, and was like messaging her fiance and was like, this is the passive. And it's like, once you're getting to that level, if you get to that level, you're not helping anybody. That you're not saving the industry. You're not saving the industry's images. What you're doing is you're doing a personal crusade to make you feel better about yourself. It has nothing to do, because let's be honest, there's a lot of people in the medical industry that probably have OnlyFans. Half the people who I know who have one are in the medical field in some way, shape, or form. So it's not, and they're great at their jobs. Mm-hmm. They're great at their vanilla jobs.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like people just, they confuse their personal tirades and their crusades with this, like, responsibility that they have that nobody asked for. I don't see any hospitals like, can you go find out which one of our workers has the OnlyFans and will give you money? No, you're doing this on your own, 9 times out of 10, because you're not confident to do it yourself. That's how I see it.
It is very unfortunate that happens.
Have you had that, like, thought to yourself where you're like, have you ever found yourself going, I may want to do it because of the possibility of that happening? Or you're like, you know, I'm going to ride this wave for as long as I can because I can't dwell on ifs and maybes.
Oh, I mean, I definitely thought about it a lot before I started my OnlyFans. I thought about all the consequences of my workplace finding out, of my family finding out, about my friends finding out who don't know, you know, this side of me. And I had to take it as, I had to think of it as, this is for me. This is not for anybody else. And I am putting in as, you know, I'm making this as secure and separate as possible from who I am professionally. So
that's how you gotta do it sometimes. Sometimes it's just, you gotta realize it's you. And I mean, I hate to sound like those typical guys, but men have been making money off of women's sexualities forever. And so it shouldn't be an issue when women decide to go into business for themselves and kind of like, this is my body, this is my sexuality. I shouldn't have to go to someone else to make money off. I should be able to make money off of it myself. And what people don't realize, you're a business person. You having OnlyFans makes you a business person. Your body, your look, that's your brand.
That's what I put on my taxes.
Yeah, I mean, there are people who, let's be honest, will fucking suck and send videos and pictures, make no money off of it, are sleeping on someone's couch. But the person who's being responsible about it, paying taxes, by the way. Did you guys peep that? I don't know if you guys peeped that when that came out. But paying taxes, working, helping people out, you know, fighting for good causes, and owning their own business. But you want to sit there and cause trouble for them because you're not happy with the fact that, you know, her butt's nicer than yours, and she gets people like tipping her hundreds of dollars just to see her do a little wiggle. It's just, come on, people. Come on. Be better. Go do some Brazilian butt lifts. Come on. Don't hate. That's my message. That's my PSA for today. But see, now when we first started, she was like, I don't know if I'm gonna be interesting enough. And this thing's almost an hour. An hour.
See, I hope I've been interesting.
You are very interesting. And now we're going to go and we're going to take some interesting pictures because we are dope like that. So thank you so much for being a part of this podcast and giving us a little bit of your time. If you don't mind, can you tell the people where they can find your amazingness at?
Super easy. You can find me on my Instagram at justcallmeisla, I-S-L-A. That's my Instagram. That's also my OnlyFans. That's also my Fat Life. It's also my Twitter. It's also
one thing for everything. Yeah. One thing for everything.
One thing for everything.
And I will also link her stuff in the bio for this. But thank you once again for doing this. And you know we're going to have to do this again.
Oh, yeah.
We're definitely doing this again. Maybe if we go out to Colorado. Oh, you guys don't know what's going on in Colorado. Oh.
We'll talk about that.
It's going to be fun. All right, so we will talk to you guys later. Thank you for tuning in. See you later, Space Cowboy.
Bye.
Well, I hope everybody enjoyed the interview. It was amazingly fun, as it always is when you get to talk to, like, some cool people that you're, like, friends with and that you respect and you love their work, and you guys just have like this great vibe. Hopefully I can get her to come back for another episode, because I think you guys will enjoy it. I will enjoy it. I know she'll enjoy it. It'll just be fun time. Had by all. With that being said, thank you for tuning in. Feel free to donate so we can do some doper stuff, because I want to do some doper stuff this year. But if you can't donate, feel free to listen again, share with your friends, retweet, repost, promote as much as you can so we can grow and become better than we are at this point. Thank you for tuning in. I'll see you guys next episode. See you later, Space Cowboy.